You're listening to Baking to the B-Movies with Ashley and Steph, broadcasting from the woods of Western Massachusetts. They're here to talk about the beautiful, the gory, the nonsensical, and of course, mostly bad horror filmmaking that we all know and love, while creating recipes inspired by these wonderful abominations. You can follow Baking to the B-Movies on Instagram, at Baking to the B-Movies, and on Twitter, at Baking to B Movies. These ladies dig deep into these movies, and some of the topics covered are disturbing. So this is your spoiler warning and explicit content warning. Listener discretion is advised. Now onward to good food, good friends, and movies so bad they literally cannot stop talking about them.
Back to baking to the B
blah, blah, blah.
Baking to the B movies. My name is Ashley.
My name is Steph.
Wow, so like assertive.
Yeah.
Like, my name is Steph.
Yeah.
Deal with it. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you all so much for being with us today. Always a pleasure. Before we get into today's new episode and new recipe, just a quick reminder that you can find us wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to like, subscribe, share, smash the follow button. And if you are interested in connecting with us, you can reach us directly at bakingtothebmovies@gmail.com. We are on Instagram at bakingtothebmovies. And if you want to catch up on any of our past episodes and stay on top of any episodes we have coming up shortly, I recommend following the RSS feed that is linked on our Instagram bio. That is where you can catch up on every single episode we have ever done. It's a full archive and you can listen to them directly from the RSS feed. I think that's it. Did I cover all? Anything I missed?
I don't know, Ashley. I wasn't even paying attention.
You never do. I work
don't.
So hard.
I don't.
Steph, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. In our last episode, we were talking about how it was going live after we had gotten back from a girls' weekend on the Cape. Mm. We hadn't gone on that trip yet, but we were, like, pre-recording it for... but we have since gone on that trip.
We have.
And in the last episode, we were talking about how it could go either way. We did, like, a, hey, the trip was amazing. Or, and then like
or
hey, skip ahead 10 seconds. The trip was garbage. Like, a choose-your-own-adventure.
Right.
But... choose your own adventure. But
we did choose our own adventure.
Yes.
Just so you know.
But I am happy to report that the trip was very fun.
It was
super fun.
It was no massive catastrophes or anything like that.
No.
Like everybody get along.
No angry outbursts. No drunken injuries. Like nobody. Mm-hmm. So the place that we stayed had that spiral staircase that went up to the second floor.
That I was waiting for you to beef every day. You didn't.
I did. I thought for sure that one of us, more than likely me,
you
would have a little bit too much to drink and eat shit going down that thing. But
you did not. No.
I was graceful the entire trip. I did get the shit kicked out of me on the boat. Like, I got bruises and shit all over my arm and my legs from those massive waves.
Oh, I was going to say, from those hellion children running around.
Oh, my God. Okay, so...
that was the one downside.
Yeah, that was really the only bad part of the trip. So, we went on a whale watch with our girlies. Girls trip. We went on this whale watch and it took us like off the coast of P-Town.
Yeah.
We were out in the middle of the ocean.
We were, like, in the bay area.
Yeah, and we saw
leaving the bay.
Yeah, we saw a bunch of humpback whales. Very cool. But the problem is that so we went on the whale watch on a Friday.
Yes.
And I always forget that, like, the kids are, for the most part, the kids are still, like, out for summer vacation.
Yeah.
So I think we went into this thinking, like, it's August, the kids are back at school, whatever. Like, some of the kids have already gone back. Like, my niece just went back to high school. I mean, yeah, it's early. But she's back at school. So I think we went into this thinking, like, it's a Friday. It's just going to be a bunch of adults just here to see some whales and have a good time. Mm. There was a fucking full summer camp on that boat with us.
Yep.
and
a bunch of rude summer camp and, little shits.
Yes. And I'm not going to name the camp. I would like to. I would like to name the camp and,
agreed,
and be like, you need to get better counselors, because there were, I would say there were like, what, 30 kids on the boat?
Easily.
Easily.
If not more.
And 30 kids, they had like two or three counselors. There were, yeah, like no adults. There were no adults.
I remember seeing one counselor.
Yeah. There were no adults supervising those kids. And like, they were just pushing and shoving and running and up running and down the fucking boat. And the woman that we had as like the tour guide, who before, well, we had started off like, you know, going away from the dock. She was kind of explaining the safety rules. Like,
right,
there's no jumping. There's no running. Like, both feet are to be on the boat at all times. Like, no, right, climbing the rails. Like, yeah, no shouting. Like, you know, no drinks on the third deck or whatever. And like, all of those rules were broken within the first 3 minutes of us.
Hands down.
Yeah. And it, and they just kept like the entire time.
Up until the
time,
very end. Like,
the
they were still
time
forcing their way through people being extremely rude about it.
Yeah. Awful.
And this is why I have no children.
Yes.
Because I hate them.
I don't hate kids, but my God, I don't want any. That's what I got,
yeah,
off.
Yeah, I don't hate kids, but
well, when we got off the boat and like we were
solid birth control right there.
Yeah, remember we were walking alongside of them, and I was I'm getting my fucking tubes tied like now, like I'm getting yeah, them tied right now. That was really the only downside, though. Everything right else, like the food that we ate was really good.
The place we stayed was really,
yeah,
nice.
The place that we stayed was adorable. It was so beachy and cute, and yeah, like, my aesthetic, just my summer aesthetic.
My aesthetic.
My aesthetic. It was so aesthetically.
I was at full of mana.
I really was.
I was at full of mana.
I really was.
And now it's drained, and we have to wait for fall to regain our mana.
I know. I feel, well, I'm heading to, it's so funny. So I'm heading to Las Vegas for the beginning of September. And I know. So
that's not full mana fall, Ashley.
I kind of hate myself, because it's like, I, on September, as you know, on September 1st, I like to put on my cardigan and go get a pumpkin spice coffee.
It could be 100 degrees outside.
It's not going to stop me.
And like 99% humidity.
Not stopping
and
me.
It does not stop. You put on your knee-length boots.
I do.
And a scarf.
Yep.
And a cardigan. And everything's orange or yellow.
Or
nice
brown.
Fall, or brown.
Yeah.
Nice fall colors.
Yep.
Head to toe. 100 degrees September 1st.
I show up with my
pumpkin
spice
coffee. She shows up and she's sweating.
I'm sweating bullets, and I'm going, I needed this.
Right?
I needed this. I've been waiting for this.
Right. You're still going to continue to wake.
But I love, I already have my wardrobe prepared for Vegas, because yeah, I have my end of August clothes that I'm going to be wearing while I'm there, but then I have my September clothes.
So when it hits September 1st?
September 1st.
And regardless, not only that, You're in the desert.
I was going to say, I'm going to be in the desert, and I'm still going to be like, because my business partner is living there right now.
Right.
And I'm going to be like, babe, it's September 1st. Can you hand me my little pumpkin sweater and and my little plaid scarf and my little, yes, pumpkin bag charm for my purse? And we're going to go get a pumpkin spice coffee, and he's going to just punch me in the face.
As he should. That is 100%. Acceptable.
So
behavior.
I actually think this episode that we're about to do, this one premieres at the very end of August. So this is essentially our last summer,
yeah,
episode, and then we have one more. Our finale is the next episode but we are having some discussions about a couple of things to maybe do in October for fun. We're busy people.
Mm-hmm.
So, Steph, before we get into today's episode, which I am very excited to talk about, we just have to quickly rewind to what I'm sure was your favorite episode to do when we did Birdemic.
What a piece of shit.
You had made ranch chicken, mm-hmm, for the episode. Happy to report, it was delicious.
It was dry.
I liked it. I liked it a lot.
It was
dry. I liked it.
Sorry, I'm generally critical of my own stuff anyway. Obviously,
I find the silver lining in everything, and I thought it was very, very good.
I thought it was very, very dry.
Okay, so maybe a little dry, but
see,
but,
I told you,
maybe a little dry, but the presentation, beautiful. It was a beautiful presentation.
You know, nothing. It's not nothing if not for presentation.
I was gonna say presentation is like 90%. Taste is the other 10%.
You eat with your eyes. eyes first.
Yeah, exactly. If something doesn't look appetizing, I'm more inclined to not enjoy it. But the fact that you made it look so beautiful.
Presentation is very important.
I didn't even notice that it was a little dry. I was so impressed with the presentation.
It's fine.
I was so impressed with the presentation that I ate the entire thing in like record time. But I eat everything in record time. Can we just, not to keep going back, can we just talk about what I ate while we were on the Cape?
Much that we continued to talk about it. Like, wow, Ashley is a disposal.
So.
Like, legit, she's a disposal. So, we don't know how she does it.
So I came and picked stuff up, and we went to go, we started driving down to the Cape, and we got breakfast sandwiches. And then we got to the house and had,
oh, the pies.
Had chicken pot pies.
Oh, my goodness. Like, yes, let's go to Cape Cod in August. And nope, don't get any lobster rolls or clams or anything. Eat these chicken pot pies and beef pot pies.
Gravy.
Gravy? It's like 180 degrees outside.
So we had pot pies, and then we went on our whale watch, and I remember eating a pretzel or part of a pretzel on the boat.
Yeah.
And then we went into Hyannis, and we split a meatball and ricotta pizza, and then I ate, like, an entire loaf of bread with oil, and then I had these spinach ravioli.
Did you take those home, by the way? Or did you leave them in the fridge?
I didn't take them home, but I'm pretty sure somebody else did because they weren't in the fridge when I went to go get them.
Okay.
I think somebody
or maybe like they threw it out or something.
Maybe, I don't know. There was only like three left.
Yeah,
so
there's
only
a few. It wasn't a big deal. It wasn't like a whole meal.
And then what was it? We had breakfast at the house the second day.
Yep.
And then I went and ate 12 oysters.
Oh man, you ate so much at that place.
So many oysters. Oh my God. It was like the highlight of my fucking.
Nobody else was really eating that much. Ashley just pounded oysters for like an hour.
It's like a fucking like an entire jar of horseradish and just sucked them down. Oh my God. And then where did we go after that? We ate somewhere else after that. Like,
we went to the Cream and Cone, I think. Was that the day we went to the Cream and Cone?
Oh yeah, we did like all the shopping.
We went shopping.
We went to Cuffy's.
And
and we all bought Cape Cod sweatshirts, and then we walked around wearing our Cape Cod sweatshirts like a bunch of douchebags. So funny.
Like, my wife, like, God, we look like a bunch of D-bags.
All wearing our Cape Cod sweatshirt.
I can't wait till it's not 100 degrees outside so I can wear it again.
I know, I'm so excited. Well, then we went to Cream and Cone.
Yes.
And I got that huge plate with clam strips, fried scallops, onion rings, and fries. And ate the entire thing.
Cleared the plate.
Then we went to the beach and watched the sunset. Mm-hmm. Then we got the ice cream, and I had that huge sundae. And I think I went back to the house and ate a bag of Fritos. And then
the ice cream. How's your grasshopper? Cape Cod Creamery does it better.
Then why,
are we the hell are we here?
Why are we at this place and not Cape Cod Creamery? So then Sunday, we had another big breakfast at the house.
Yep.
Then we went and got lobster rolls, ate the entire lobster roll and all the fries, and I think I ate somebody else's piece of fish because I couldn't finish it.
Yeah.
went back to the house, ate another bag of Fritos.
So much food.
And then I went home and made a sandwich.
I'm sure you did. You're like, damn, I'm hungry. I'm getting a little peckish. Let me make the sandwich quick.
And then what I love too is we were planning next year's trip this was after I had like eaten all this food. We were planning next year's trip. And when we decided on the location, I was like, oh, we got to go to this place because they have really good lobster rolls. Having just eaten a lobster roll. What's wrong with me? I love food.
Girl loves her crustaceans.
Oh, I really do.
So do I, but I can't put it away like you do.
Oh my God. I could have easily housed another like 20 oysters. If we didn't have other shit that we wanted to do, we could have sat there for like 2 hours and just keep bringing them out.
Go to town.
Here's just open a tab. Here's my card.
All right.
But yes. So
it was a good time. It was a good time watching Ashley eat.
It's like the entire trip. Hold on, guys. I'll be there in a second. I got to finish this.
It's like there's always something sticking out of her mouth. Like, I don't understand. Like, where'd you get that hot dog? I don't even know where this hot dog came from.
Oh, my God. Well, we're going to be talking about food at the end of this episode because I made a recipe for today. but if you want to try making the ranch chicken yourself, and I do recommend giving it a shot. Steph did a great job at laying out the recipe. It is over on our Instagram at Baking to the Bee Movies. We'll have a couple of pictures. We'll have like the step by step, the ingredients that you need. That's probably the best way to do it. And thankfully, Instagram has enough space that you can like fit the entire. Right. Some social media, it's like, nope, too many characters. But thankfully, Instagram, you can post pretty lengthy stuff, pretty lengthy captions.
Yeah.
So Steph, I'm happy to report that despite the fact that we did Birdemic in our last episode, you chose a significantly more fun movie. fun, different definitions of fun. Birdemic's very fun to watch with a crowd. This is just fun in general. Do you want to tell the audience what movie we're talking about today?
So today we are heading to Maryland to learn how the greats do it. The greats being serial killers and how they manage to pull off their capers in Behind the Mask, The Rise of Leslie Vernon.
A 2006 movie clocking in at an hour and 32 minutes. This one had a really fun cast. Like,
there's some solid gems in it.
Yes.
Which I actually forgot about.
Yes. So we have, is it Nathan Basil?
Basil, I think. Basil, like the plant.
Yeah. We have Nathan Basil. We have Scott Glosserman. We have the late, great Scott Wilson, who played Herschel on The Walking Dead. Yep. One of the sweetest men I've ever met. We also have the late and great Zelda Rubinstein.
This house is clean.
Love her.
Actually, this was the last movie she did before she passed away. Aww. Yeah.
We have a cameo. Well, not a cameo.
It's not a cameo. It's a legit character.
He's in it. Robert England.
Robert England.
Robert
Freddy Krueger himself. Who is basically like the Dr. Loomis character, essentially.
Which I really loved. I love seeing him in that kind of role.
Yeah, it was fun.
We do have a guest appearance, which I'll mention briefly. He plays the neighbor for all of 2 seconds, but it was kind of fun seeing him on screen. I don't know if you caught that. I think right away what I love about this movie is that it kind of, the filming style, there's two different filming styles in it. There's the documentary side, which is like, you know, it's first person.
It switches voices.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool.
Yeah. It's like the first person, you're getting the view of the cameraman and the crew making this documentary.
Right.
And then it will, like, depending on where the narrative is going, it switches into, mm-hmm. like, third person.
Like a typical horror genre kind of movie.
Exactly. Like a high production horror movie.
Yeah. So, essentially, the premise of this whole movie was a mockumentary, but there's a camera crew.
Yes.
And, like, you know, the face of the documentary, obviously, Taylor. They are basically following out around a serial killer and interviewing him and basically asking how they do what they do. And it also seems that in this universe, the Mike Myers, the Freddy Kruegers, the Jason Voorhees,
they're real people.
Actually are real people.
They're like real people.
They're historic serial killers.
Yes. Which I also really enjoyed.
Which is kind of nice.
Yeah, like Taylor, who is the lead in this movie, she's the journalist. She's the one who's fronting this documentary. She is, you know, she's sort of giving this intro about these notorious slasher movie villains, i.e. like you had said, Michael Myers and so on.
Yeah.
And the way that she's reporting on them is like they're real and their crimes are real and like they're still out there.
Yep.
And now they have been contacted, or she has been contacted by Leslie Vernon, mm-hmm. who his lore is that he was thrown.
Yeah, so he was essentially possessed by some demon, killed his parents or family.
Yeah.
The townspeople grabbed him when he was a kid.
Yeah.
And they essentially just threw him over a waterfall.
Yes.
Threw him down a waterfall, and then he supposedly died.
Right.
So there's his paranormal aspect.
Right.
So he has this whole backstory that he essentially created.
Yes.
That didn't actually exist, because we found out a little bit later in the movie more things in regards to that.
Right, of like who he actually is.
Right.
The guest appearance that I was talking about is when Taylor's giving this, she's like at the location, she's like, you know, at Camp Crystal Lake, you know, like 32 kids have been massacred and they're like waiting for Jason to come back. And then on Elm Street, you know, they're saying that Freddy Krueger, you know, can kill you in your dreams. She's like, you know, we tried to get a word with his neighbor, and it's Kane Hodder. Kane Hodder is like the neighbor.
Or Hodder. Yeah.
I really enjoyed this, like 2 second cameo, but I was like, oh, it was really fun.
Yep.
But Taylor does advise that they have been contacted by Leslie Vernon himself, who is preparing to make his comeback and basically slaughter a bunch of people in true slasher fashion.
And this documentary crew were like, yes.
Yeah.
For some reason. they're like, we will totally get into this.
We're totally going to interview you and follow along and get like an insight into how the greats do it.
How they do it.
So,
what could go wrong?
Many things, evidently. So Taylor and her crew, and what are the kids? It's Doug is one.
Todd.
Todd,
I believe.
Are the cameramen.
Yep.
So they are at Leslie Vernon's house, where he actually resides, and he comes out, and what I love about this is, like, they're building it up, like, you are expecting him to be, like, super intense and very scary and very serious, and he's just, like, a funny dude.
He's just a normal guy.
He's just a normal, funny dude.
He's just a normal meathead dude.
Yeah, it's super funny. Very charming.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's kind of giving them a... Well, he gives them, like, I think a tour of his house and where he lives and what he does, you know, in his free time when he's not planning this elaborate thing to kill someone.
Right. And, yeah, he has, like, a whole, like, set of books.
Yes.
So he's got, like, Grey's Anatomy, anatomy books.
Yes.
And like, sleight of hand.
Yes.
Books and stuff like that. So he does his research.
It's true.
How these guys do it. They do a lot of, like, it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
For these serial killers to do what they do.
Now, when Leslie does advise that he already has his victim chosen, like the main girl of who he's going
survivor
to target,
girl,
the survivor
girl. Called her.
And prior to that, we do get him kind of giving a synopsis of like how you choose people. Like they're sitting outside a high school with the filming crew in a very cool VW bus, which I was very envious of. I wanted it so bad. But he's pointing out like, okay, see the jocks, like, you know, they're like a prime target because like they have, you know, this person and this person, but like that girl's not a virgin. So like, she's not the final girl.
Right.
But like, you know, and then you have like the nerds over there, like the nerdy guys, but like they don't run as fast. So it's not like quite as challenging.
Right.
Like you need someone that you need to like chase after.
Right.
And then like another girl walks by and he's like, she's a virgin. She'd be perfect. And they're like, how can you tell? And he's like, she just clearly is. But like, she notices that they're filming her and immediately gets like creeped out and like takes off. Like,
but what Leslie says, he's like, oh, see, we just sensed each other.
Yeah.
Because I mean, look at Mike Myers and Laurie Strode.
Exactly.
So it's kind always of like, oh, they're always sensing each other.
Yeah. It's
all like the rivalry with the serial killer and the virgin final girl.
Yeah. It's always these, like, he like really gets into the tropes of like the the different types of people like mingling and like who hangs out with who. It's very funny.
Mm-hmm.
But he does have one girl in particular chosen, and he has chosen her for quite some time. And we do see her for a quick minute at the beginning of the movie. She works as a waitress at
a diner,
and she, you know, uses a brick to hold open the back door of the diner at the end of the night so that she can throw out the trash because the door locks behind her. And when she's throwing out the trash, you know, she senses that someone is watching her.
Mm-hmm.
We do get a glimpse of who ends up being Leslie sort of in the shadows, you know, sort of stalking her. And then the brick, like, falls away from the door and she has to hightail it to the front of the diner to get back inside because she gets scared, which comes into play later on. We see kind of how things are done.
Yes, and how he does it. So he meets up with this crew.
Yes.
And he does explain that he brings them to, like, the high school and this and that. But he brings them to his family home.
Yes.
So, naturally, his family home is a farm in the middle of nowhere. But what I appreciated was that it's an apple farm.
Yes.
So, it's just orchards. And this is where he's going to basically fulfill his destiny with these kids. Excuse me. He's going to go on a killing spree.
Yes.
So, Like, he's basically walking around and showing him the home, which is super, like, abandoned, yeah. obviously. It's got to be abandoned.
Yeah.
And there's the orchard, which is all, like, labyrinthian. And he does explain that every year, kids come out to this house, because it's obviously, it's historic as far as, oh, well, it's a haunted location.
Yeah, it's like a yearly challenge. Like, kids will go and try to survive the night. Yeah.
And stay the night. So basically, he's using that to his advantage to do the slaughtering.
Right. So he's showing them around the family house, and I believe Taylor asks him, like, why he doesn't just live at the house.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, you know, can't like that.
People would see him. Yeah, kind of take the mystery out of it all.
I think what he says
it wouldn't
is like
be very smart.
Yeah, he's like, I can't be out here mowing the lawn. That takes away the mystique. You know.
Yeah, exactly. It's got to be abandoned, and people have to believe it's abandoned.
Yeah,
you can't believe it's abandoned if you see some dude trimming the bushes.
Exactly, it's not as scary. But he plans to lure these kids to the house, and he has a very elaborate plan set up that he shows us a little bit later on.
Mm-hmm.
But prior to that, he has to, what is the name of the final girl that he's chosen?
Kelly.
Kelly is the final girl that he's chosen. This is the waitress at the diner. And he gives us kind of a glimpse into how these tropes are done.
Yeah, and first, how they all do it.
So that very first scene where she's dumping the trash, he brings the filming crew to the diner. And he gets them in on it. And I do love how, like, they just jump right into being accomplices to this.
Yeah, they're just like, oh, that's cool. Let's, you know, they were super into it.
Yeah, like, he's saying, like, okay, he's like, now I've watched her enough to know that she, at the end of the night, she puts this brick in front of this door and takes out the trash.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I've tied fishing line around the brick.
Clear fishing line.
Yeah, he's like, Taylor, I'm going to give you a signal, and you pull the brick to close the door, and that's going to freak her out. Mm-hmm. And she's going to get a glimpse of me, but then when she turns around, I'm gone. Like,
right.
And Taylor's like, wow. Like, she's like, okay.
Like, all right.
So then we get, like, the, you know, at the beginning of the movie, it's shot like a third person, like, very, not fancy, but, like, well-done horror movie.
Yeah, like a more, like, high production
yes. thing. Now we get that scene just in documentary form mm-hmm. because they're filming it from a distance.
Right, which gives it a completely different feel.
Which is very cool. Which is cool. And I do love that they go back and forth between that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we don't see Taylor, but she pulls the brick. That's how the brick moved away from the door. She mm-hmm. helps.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Kelly runs into the diner.
Yeah, she runs through the front.
Now, Leslie does tell Taylor, at no point are they to intervene, and, like, they can't talk to Kelly.
Right. She wanted to talk to Kelly, and he told her absolutely not.
Yes.
It's going to screw things up, whatever, this and that. So, they don't.
Yeah.
For now.
Right. We do get to meet, now, Leslie has a couple of friends of his that he goes for guidance.
His mentor.
Played by
the late great
Scott Wilson. I like seeing him on the screen, and like he steals the fucking and scene this every movie, time.
So I think Walking Dead started in 2008.
2010.
Really?
Started in 2010.
So this movie was just a few years before that came out.
Yeah, long before he was ever Herschel.
Yeah.
But he still like just steals every scene that he's in.
He does. He's so great.
His wife's name is Jamie. yes. What is his name in this?
Give me 2 seconds.
There are a lot of
Eugene.
Names. Eugene.
Yeah.
So Eugene is a former slasher/serial killer.
Yep, and he's taken Leslie under his wing.
Exactly. And isn't Jamie, like, the final girl that Eugene didn't kill and they end up getting married or something?
Yeah, yeah. super funny. So Eugene's got a hot wife.
Super hot wife named Jamie.
Super sweet.
And she's super into everything. Like, nothing.
She's totally into it.
Like, she's very supportive.
She's super supportive.
Yeah. And
they love each other, obviously.
Yeah, but she was like Eugene's final girl that he didn't kill, and they end up getting married.
Yeah,
and she's true. Like, yeah, so she's giving, you know, she's explaining to Taylor kind of like why they do what they do and like how she survived and all this other stuff. But Eugene is also giving her, he's kind of like pulling the curtain back and giving her a look into how things are different from when he used to kill people.
Right, because his heyday was the 60s and the 70s.
Right, versus now.
Yeah, so they obviously had, we have different things now than they had.
Right.
You know.
And what I love is, like, they're, you know, they're having dinner together. And at no point is, like, our Taylor, like, the camera crew are loving this. They're having mm-hmm. the time of their lives. Even Taylor seems to be enjoying herself. Yeah. Eugene's like using a knife to cut up tomatoes, and he's getting like really
he's cutting up a carrot. She's like, "Oh, cut this up." You know, his wife there asked him to cut up a carrot.
Yeah,
and he's just hacking it to bits.
Hacking it to itty-bitty pieces. And it freaks Taylor out a little bit because he, like, yeah. jams the knife into the cutting board.
Yeah.
It's super scary. But they're giving, like, they're very supportive of Leslie's plan. And they're mm-hmm. making sure that he is dotting all his I's and crossing his T's so that there's no, you know. And when they're discussing, before the end of the evening, they're discussing what his next move is going to be. Because he's already done the, like, creeper out at work thing.
Right, like the stalking part of it.
Right. So now, you know, it's time for Leslie to up the ante a little.
Right.
So he shows Eugene, Jamie, and Taylor. He has generated a fake newspaper article.
Right. He, Eugene asks about a red herring.
Right.
So he's like, oh, what are you going to do? And he says, well, she goes to, he was going to kill somebody else first, I think. But then they said, like, well, because she goes to the library a lot.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, well, is there somebody, like, that she knows?
Yeah, because he was talking about murdering her best friend to get her attention.
It.
And
that's
they're like,
it.
No.
Like you, that's way too much.
You got to be more subtle than that.
Yeah.
And even Jamie's like, how about the librarian? If she's, you know, if she's always at the library, why don't you just kill the librarian?
Yes.
And he like, smacks his head. And he's like, oh, brilliant.
Obviously.
Such a great idea. Like,
right.
Super funny.
So he doctors this, and I thought this was actually funny because
this is hilarious.
Because you always talk about the random like newspaper clippings
that
scrolling
has
across screens and stuff for
right.
these movies, and he doctors a fake article.
Yes.
About
his mother being like raped
by her like great uncle.
She doesn't have a great
uncle. But she doesn't have
a great uncle. But she doesn't know that.
But she doesn't know.
this is Kelly, by the way. Kelly, yes.
His target.
Yes.
So Taylor's asking, like, well, does she have a great uncle? He's like, no, I don't know, maybe.
Who knows?
He's like, it doesn't matter.
But so they're at the library after this dinner with Eugene and Jamie, and he's explaining it in the library what he's going to do. And he's like, you know, I made this fake newspaper article about how my mother was raped by, presumably, Kelly's great uncle.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I'm going to put this in a location where she's going to see it and read it and start to connect the dots. And she's going to want to read more. She's going to want to do more research into my story and my mom and where I come from and her great mm-hmm. uncle and what the link is, because something has to link us together. That's why I'm after her. There has to be some kind of link.
Yes.
He's like, so I also doctored this microfiche.
The microfiche is awesome.
He's like, because this is an old article that, you know, the library's not going to have mm-hmm. all these old articles. So now
it's a fake article.
Yeah.
Oh, there's
and,
that.
Yeah, he's like, so I doctored this microfiche so that she's going to have to find it on the microfiche.
He swaps out the actual microfiche in there for, like, the fake one.
The fake one. It's so fucking funny.
So, sure enough, so they're all hiding in the library.
Yes.
Okay. Kelly shows up. Well, she finds the article.
Well, I just want to say before that, he does explain, like, you know, in a perfect world, she's going to want to learn more, and she's going to go to the microfiche, and the librarian's going to give her my lore, because the librarian was around when my mm-hmm. lore started,
mm-hmm.
and then she's going to be totally creeped out. And he's giving, like, a play-by-play of how this is going to play out, and Taylor's like, well, what if this doesn't work out? And he's like, well, then A, B, and C. Like, he has everything
planned. Everything is
planned. To a T.
Mm-hmm.
So we go from this documentary-style footage to now it is from the third-person perspective of, like, a professionally shot horror movie.
Yes.
Where Kelly finds this news article.
She finds the article. She goes to the librarian, played by the great Zelda Rubinstein.
Yes.
And she's like, oh, do you have more on this? And, of course, she brings her over to
the microfiche.
The microfiche.
Fucking microfiche.
And there's this whole article there, and Zelda, who plays Mrs. Collinsworth, or Ms. Collins, Colin
yes.
Wood, I'm sorry, Colin Wood, who's the librarian. And she's reading it, too, and she sees, like, the name.
Yes.
And I can't remember what the last name was. And she's like, are you related to this man?
Yes, in that really cute voice. And
she's like, I don't know.
Well, then she starts giving the history of Leslie Vernon, because she was around when this story started.
Yes.
And, you know, and she's explaining to Kelly, like, what happened to him as a child. And, oh, my God, it was so horrible. And, like, you know, they say that he comes back to get his revenge, like, once
yeah.
a year or
yeah.
whatever. And Now, Leslie has planned to kill the librarian in front of Kelly because that is the red herring. That is the lead up following the red herring is somebody's got to die. So sure enough, he appears behind the librarian and Kelly completely flips her shit. But they're not alone because outside, I forget which cameraman is outside filming the exterior of the library while Taylor and the other cameraman are inside filming this go down. He does note, he's like, we have company. Somebody's like at the library. This car pulls up.
Yep.
And who should that person be that interrupts this play-by-play scenario that Leslie has planned, but Robert Englund's character?
Doc Halloran.
Yes. Who interrupts the attempt to kill the librarian, and he essentially shoots Leslie in the shoulder.
He does shoot Leslie in the shoulder.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, tells Kelly, like, come with me. I'm going to keep you safe. And Kelly runs to him, like, no hesitation.
Yeah.
So now we are back at Eugene and Jamie's house because the filming crew has caught this man. They've caught Robert Englund's character. Doc Halloran. Doc Halloran, like, while they're filming this whole thing go down. And while you might think that Leslie would be livid that his plan did not go the way that he wanted to, he is so excited.
It went even better than expected. Now he has an Ahab, I think is what he called it.
Yes. And Eugene's a little hesitant to, like, celebrate, but Jamie's thrilled, the wife. She's thrilled because, like, this means that, like, everything's actually going the way it's supposed to. Because to counteract the evil of every slasher villain, you need the guy that represents all the good.
The good. Yep, because you can't have one without the other.
Exactly. So, you know, in Halloween, it's Dr. Loomis. Yep. It's his psychologist.
Yep.
Who would it have been in? I don't think there really was one in Friday the 13th. I don't think there was, like, a moral.
No, there wasn't. Or in, like, Freddy Krueger.
Yeah. But most slasher movies, you have, like, that
You'll
one.
Have that. Depending on the premise of the slasher.
Yes.
There is that character.
Yes. So Taylor is, like, very confused. She's like, why is this a good thing that, like, right. this guy is now going to be wherever you go to stop you? And he's like, well, it's supposed to be that way.
Yeah.
Like, I need this guy to try and stop me. He's going to try to, like, you know, get into my mind and whatever.
Yeah.
So, you know, now I believe it's the following day and Taylor is breaking the one rule that Leslie had told her, which is don't go talk to Kelly. They go to her diner.
Mm-hmm.
And Todd and Greg are trying to talk her out of it. And she's like, well, I need to. And, like, I need to talk to her. And
I think at this point she's having, like, a moral conundrum.
Like, I need to warn. Exactly. Like, I need to warn this girl that, like, she's being targeted.
Yeah.
And that, like, she is in danger.
Yeah.
So they go into the diner and Kelly, who's visibly shaken up, does seat them. She's very distracted, very shaken up. And, you know, the cameramen are like, this is a really bad idea. They're, like, filming in the booth, but they do notice that Doc Halloran is also in the diner.
He sure is.
And he's watching them, and he realizes that they have a camera. And he approaches them and confronts them of, like, why are you following this girl? Why are you filming this girl? And Taylor, who's very bad at playing, like, she has no idea what's going on, she's like, we're not? Like, you know, like, no, I have no idea what you're talking about. But he's not having it because he is the moral good in this story. Like, he's the chaotic good in the story.
Yeah.
And he is basically, he does let Taylor know that Leslie's not who she thinks he is. His real name isn't even Leslie Vernon. He has a completely different last name. And he's from Reno. Like, he's not even from this area. He's from Reno.
Like, he was being treated at a psych ward by Doc Halloran.
Yes, which goes hand in hand with,
which,
like,
again, goes hand in
hand. Dr. Loomis.
Yeah.
It's, like, right at a. So, you know, they end up leaving the diner because now they're, you know, Kelly comes over and she realizes that something is going on and, like, these people know each other. And Taylor and the filming crew just leave. But Leslie has seen that they are there and he's pissed.
He's pissed. And he
does confront Taylor. He's like, I told you not to do one thing. And that was that. She does ask him about Reno and he gets pissed. Like, he gets visibly pissed. And there's, like, a shift where, like, first they were getting along and, like, she was on board. Now there's a divide. But he does convince her to get in the bus and, like, he will tell her everything.
Yeah.
So then I believe it's the cameramen are filming their conversation from sort of, like, outside the room. He does give sort of a backstory as to, like, where he came from. He does advise that Doc Halloran did treat him in Reno.
Yep.
Does he give an explanation as to, like, why he's doing this? I don't know if it's ever, like, really...
I don't believe so. No, I don't think so. Like, he's like, yes, he treated me because I went there for whatever reason.
Yeah. So he's not some, like...
it came out.
Yeah, he's not some supernatural entity, as he had led her to believe.
Yeah.
And he has no, like, real ties with this community the way that he led her to believe. But he is still planning on murdering these kids. Like,
oh, yeah.
That hasn't changed.
He's still making sure he fulfills his destiny.
Yes.
I think at that point, he basically invites them, like, well, you guys can go.
Yeah, he
like,
does give them the option. Yeah.
If you're not interested, you know, if you're going to screw things up for me, you can go.
Yeah.
And it almost seems like they do.
Yeah.
But then they come back.
It's true. So he gives them the option to leave. And at this point when you're watching and you realize that there is a connection between him and Taylor. Like, Taylor doesn't want to go, but part of her does want to go. She's having this very moral crisis.
Yeah.
And they get along really well. Like, they seem like very, very friendly with one another.
Yeah.
She doesn't appear to be bothered at all by what he's planning
to
do.
She seems to be okay.
Yeah, she seems okay. Like, she seems fully on board. So they do have this moment of moral crisis where they're letting her decide whether or not she wants to continue making this documentary or if she wants to leave and just let Leslie finish what he's going to do without them, without the camera crew there to document it. And ultimately, like you said, she does decide to go back.
Mm.
And at this point, I believe it is the day of what he has planned.
Yes.
And he has been working tirelessly to prepare this family home, quote unquote. It's not really his family home, but it is the home that the kids will be in, the high school kids.
We get this, at this point, I think, we get this step by step as to how he basically rigged this house.
Yes.
Okay. And lots of imagery, too.
Yes.
Lots of imagery.
It cuts back and forth between the documentary style of following him around while he's explaining, like, what he did and how he did it. Then it pans to, like, how it's going to play out in his head.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, he'll be like, oh, you know, yeah, these two...
Yeah, it's like we have, like, dramatizations almost.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So he'll be like, you know, oh, like, you know, the jock and his girlfriend are going to be down in the basement to fix the lights because right. I have the lights rigged.
He rigged the lights to go out.
Exactly.
So they'll go down there. While they're doing that, obviously they're going to have sex, right?
Yeah.
And I think it was another couple that was going up to the second floor.
Yes.
He's like, so this couple is going to go up to the second floor.
Yeah.
To have sex because everybody just has sex all the time.
He's like, you know, hormones are raging in these kids.
Yeah.
And he's like, and I'm going to let them do it a little bit because what a way to go out. And
right.
And the cameramen are like, yeah, like they're super into it.
The cameramen.
They're loving this.
Oh my God. But so essentially, at this point, he's going to be hiding in the closet. Let them do what they need to do for a few minutes.
Yeah.
And then he's going to come out and slash them both.
Yes. And it cuts to him slashing them both, like, as he's explaining how he's going to do it.
Yeah.
So, like, you get... It's gory and it's
fun. So, again,
fun.
It's another dramatization.
Exactly.
He explains, like, the shed.
Yes.
And the shed is his sacred place. But the weapons are all, like, this axe... Like, there's no, like, guns or anything. Guns are for chumps.
Yeah.
So, there's, like, axes... And pickaxes and all sorts of stuff, but like the handles are like
he like cut them already so that they'll break.
So they'll break. He
loosens the sledgehammer.
The sledgehammer head, so that'll come off. Like all sorts of things that will just be so bad for these kids.
Yeah, like he goes outside and he's pointing to like a tree. He's like, you know, I cut down the branches on the higher up, higher parts of the tree, so that they can't escape. And he's like, but I also cut these lower branches so that it'll crack the minute there's any kind of body weight.
Right.
Like, so
they'll just
much
fall through the tree.
So much planning into this. He also keeps noting that, like, Kelly is going to be on her best behavior because she is the final girl.
So right. She's the virgin.
Yeah, she's not going to be drinking. She's not going to be having sex with anybody. Like, she... And you know, he's kind of walking through, like, his ways to, like, lead her where he wants her to go.
Right.
Which ultimately ends up, like, in the apple orchard. Like, he wants to lead Kelly into the apple orchard.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of symbolism in the apple orchard. And it will result in, like, the final scene of, like, this apple press. Like,
yes, the cider press.
The cider press. Which I love is Taylor's like, what are you going to do with the cider press? And he's like, well, right now I'm making cider because he's got apples in it.
Yeah, he's throwing apples in it.
But, like, it's going to happen that night. Like, he is prepared.
Did we mention about how he has to work on his cardio?
So
that's another thing that he does.
Like, yeah, he's telling Taylor and the crew, like, you know, his preparation, which is like, you know, he has to do a ton of cardio because when this all goes down, he has to be able to move fast while giving the illusion of just walking slowly.
Like, that's right. Like all the greats.
Yeah, he's like, you know,
like
I gotta,
Jason.
Yeah, he's like, I got to catch up with these kids, but I can't look like I'm sprinting after them. So, like, right. It requires a ton of cardio.
Yep.
It requires, like, a ton of, like, meditation to get your heart rate down.
Yes.
Like,
the pool there that Eugene was in.
Yes.
What the hell was that called?
Oh, it was like
the deprivation
chamber or whatever. Yeah. Like to get your heart rate down, your breathing. That's something Eugene has taught him.
Yeah, that they practice to basically control their body functions.
Yes.
So like they can lower their heart down to like 4 beats a minute.
And give the appearance of looking dead.
Yes, and appear that they're dead.
Yes.
He's when like, they're not.
Yeah, he's like, because you got to sit up at the right time. Which
exactly.
Of
we
course.
See that, yeah.
All the time. And all the time in slasher movies. So
yep.
There's a lot of planning and preparation that goes into this.
Mm-hmm.
So now it is, like, the night of, and they are in the first section, like, which I think is, like, the part of the house downstairs in the basement. So it's Taylor and Leslie. Now, Leslie also, in preparation, he has a mask ready. He has his own mask, but he's covering himself in, like, preparation H so that, like, he doesn't bleed, like, if he gets
hit. It's the same stuff boxers put on their face.
To stop swelling.
Swelling and it helps blood coagulate.
Yes.
You know, stuff like that.
Yeah. And
very clever.
And he's applying it, and, like, Taylor's watching him, and, you know, he's like, yeah, it's preparation age, and blah, 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 and he explains, but then he, like, mixed it with something else so it looked, like, spooky. Like, he's got, like, the dark, like, eye paint under his eyes.
Yep.
But what I love is, like, so they're filming him from outside. He's like, you know, there's a barn that he has rigged, like, where he's going to be to, like, grab these kids mm-hmm. and, like, kill them one by one. And he's sitting, like, in the hay loft with Taylor. Yeah. And, like, it is almost go time. Like, the kids are going to be on their way shortly to do this, like, initiation or whatever, like, this dare where they're going to stay in the house overnight and party. And he's sitting there, and he's, like, crying because he's so happy. Like, he's so happy.
He's so excited.
And Taylor, like, reaches over and, like, holds his hand because, like, they're like, what else can you do?
Right.
And she's just, like, giving him, like, the thumbs up. Like, mm-hmm. It's going to be great. Like, great.
You got this.
So now they're back at the house and he is, like, ready to go. And, you know, they hear the kids coming into the house and he's telling them, like, he comes in, like, it's Taylor and the cameraman and they're waiting and Leslie comes in. He's like, okay, the kids are here. Kelly's in the house. He's like, she's not drinking or smoking because she is the good girl. She's the good girl.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, it's go time. And he, like, you know, hits the switch to put the lights out.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, just as planned, the two jocks, the jock guy and his girlfriend come downstairs to, like, fool around, but also fix the lights.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right, here we go. And you don't see him kill them, but nope. You do hear it.
Yeah, you know it happens.
And at this point now, Taylor realizes, like, oh, he wasn't, like, none of this is a fucking joke. Like, he's really going to kill these kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then she has the moment of morality where she's like,
we need to stop this. This is not cool.
Yeah. Well, Leslie...
But weren't they in the closet together?
Well, so
for the upstairs couple.
Well, so Leslie comes back. That happens shortly. Leslie comes back and he's, like, getting ready to initiate the second phase of his plan. But he realizes that Taylor is now having doubts, mm-hmm. and he basically kicks them out. He's like, and what I love is, like, he's like, you got that look on your face. And she's like, yes. And she's like, what look? And he's like, the look of, like, we can't just sit back and let this happen. Like, you say, you gotta go. Like, you have to go. And he brings them outside and he's like, listen, like, I can't have you guys here because this is my night. Like, you knew this was going to happen. I walked you through it step by step.
Right.
Like, there's no turning back now. Like, I just killed two kids. So, like, you need to go. And, you know, and like, he shakes the cameraman's hands. He's like, really nice meeting you guys.
Yeah, right.
And, like,
still a nice dude.
Still super nice. Still, like, super, super charismatic. And Taylor is like, it's weird. She's, like, devastated that she has to leave, but also, like, wants to stay and, like, help these kids.
Yeah.
And they have, like, this charged moment where he's, like, you know, saying goodbye to her. And he's like, okay, bye, Taylor. And, like, he goes to, like, finish the job. And they're loading up the equipment to leave, but Taylor's like, we can't let him do this.
Yeah.
We can't, like, morale, like, nope. Now, mm-hmm. she is going to be the moral one. and she has to put a stop to this.
Yep.
So she goes into the house with the cameraman to, like, warn the other kids.
Mm-hmm.
Now...
And doesn't she just, like, run through, like, into the living room?
She runs into the living room and the two, like, stoners are there that they were planning.
because, you know, we have to have stoners, too.
You have to.
Yeah.
And she's basically telling them, like, where's Kelly? And they're like, she went upstairs with so-and-so, like, her boyfriend. They go upstairs and they walk in on Kelly having sex with her boyfriend. She mm-hmm. is not a virgin. She is definitely not a virgin. This nope. is something she has done many times before based on the performance that she's given.
Yep.
Which now she...
And even the guys are like, she's not even remotely yeah. close to yeah. a virgin. That's the virgins too.
So now, like, this changes the whole dynamic because sure Kelly isn't the good girl. Like, she's not the virgin. Mm-hmm. She can't be the final girl. But Taylor is now sort of going through the, like, okay, he was going to do this, and now he's going to do this, and then he's going to do this. So, like, we have time to rescue all these kids. And they're trying to warn Kelly of, like, what's going on. So it's the two stoners. It's Kelly and her boyfriend. She has a best friend that is there.
Yeah, I think at that point, the friend there runs from that basement.
Yes.
And
yeah, she's telling him, like,
he just killed her boyfriend.
Yeah, like this dude with this creepy mask just killed my boyfriend. So Taylor, meanwhile, is trying to remember the plan step by step of, like, mm-hmm. okay, so he was going to start in the basement, then he was going to do this, and then he was going to do this.
Yeah, move the bodies around.
Right. So when they go to, like, they go to run upstairs to, like, find the bodies, there's nothing there.
Nope.
And now the plan has completely changed. Mm-hmm. And Taylor is realizing, like, now he's accounting for extra people in the house because we weren't supposed to be here.
Right.
And and at this point, I'm thinking to myself, like, if I was in this position where, like, this nice guy is, like, you know, I'm going to kill these kids and, like, super friendly to me and, like, I know what he's capable of. Honestly, I would have just let him go through with his original plan.
You would have just left?
I would have just been like, let's get the fuck out of here. Like, fuck these kids. I'm out.
Yeah.
He worked so hard. Like, he put so much thought into it.
He put so much thought and effort into his plan.
Like, why am I going to fuck that up now? So they're basically at this point, they're trying to keep one step ahead of Leslie. And yes. while Taylor is explaining to Kelly and her friends what is going on, they realize that Leslie can see them from the window that they're standing in front of. So now,
very well.
Yeah, now he knows, like, who is in the house and where everybody is. And the entire plan gets, like, thrown. It gets completely, like, upended. Like, the original plan that we had gotten the walkthrough on, the visuals of how it was going to go down, now it is completely changed. So, like, the cars have been fucked with. And, mm-hmm. and Taylor knows that the cars have been fucked with. Now, they were going to go upstairs. The plan was that they were going to go upstairs and find these two bodies, and it was going to send everybody fucking scattering because they were going to panic. Well, they go outside because the cars have been fucked with, but the van has it, the bus. So when they open the bus to put all the kids in the bus to take off, the two bodies are in the bus instead of upstairs where yep. they were supposed to have been.
Yep.
So it's back into the house.
Yep.
I think at this point, like, don't the stoners, like, go out to the... It was supposed to be, I think, Kelly... The original plan was, like, Kelly and her boyfriend were going to go out to, like, the tool shed or something to, like, try and, like, find something to defend themselves with.
Right.
But now it's the stoners. The stoners do that while mm-hmm. Kelly stays in the house. It's basically the plan has been completely fucked and everybody mm-hmm. is in places they weren't supposed to be.
But it seems that Leslie has planned for all of this and still... knew exactly what was going to happen.
Exactly.
Because you have to know, like, well, here's a scenario. This is what could happen, what I would like to happen, but here's reaction A or B, C, and D to same said scenario.
Right.
So you have to account for anything that could possibly happen.
Right. So the stoners get killed in a way that they weren't originally supposed to get nope. killed, but they still get killed.
But they get killed.
I think at this point, Kelly...
Don't they run upstairs? I think they're still upstairs because I know Kelly gets out the window and that's her demise, essentially.
Yes. So Kelly, who's supposed to be the final girl, they, you know, the stoners get killed. The rest of the group see the stoners get killed and they run back into the house and upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
Kelly smashes a a window to yep. crawl out, not realizing that the branches have been compromised, and she fucking falls to her death. So Kelly's not the final girl anymore
at all.
Now it's the boyfriend, the best friend, Taylor, and the two cameramen. They, you know, they take off outside and they see Leslie, and one of the cameramen is it Todd?
It's Todd.
Todd is like, I'm going to lead him this way. Mm-hmm. You guys run.
Which could have caused dire consequences for Leslie.
Yes. So.
Did not, but it could have.
Yes.
So he basically sacrifices himself, essentially, but he distracts him by running this way.
Well, the rest of the group go the other way.
The group goes the other way. So Leslie does actually go after Todd.
Yes. And he does kill Todd, which is sad. Because Todd was very fun.
Todd was fun.
Very fun. He's super into this.
Yeah.
The rest of the group are in the barn. And it's at this point that Taylor is trying to think of what's going to happen next. Mm-hmm. Because Kelly's dead. So there has to be a new final girl. Mm-hmm. And while they're talking, it comes to light that Taylor's a virgin.
Yep.
And that Leslie is the one who contacted her to make this documentary. It wasn't the other way around. Like, mm-hmm. he contacted her and asked her if she wanted to do this documentary. Mm-hmm. And Taylor now realizes that she's the final girl.
Yep.
And has been this whole fucking time. This was all an elaborate...
Flipping the script.
This is an elaborate plot to get Taylor isolated so that mm-hmm. he could kill her.
Yep.
She is the final girl. So now Leslie comes to the barn where everybody is hiding. And he does kill the best friend, and he does kill the boyfriend, which leaves Taylor and Greg, her other cameraman. However, when Leslie goes to attack Taylor and Greg, who should intervene, which was planned. He had a feeling it was going to happen, but Doc Hollering shows up.
Yep.
And gets into it with Leslie, which gives Taylor enough time to make a run for it. Unfortunately, yeah. Greg gets knocked out. Like, he gets his head smashed against
the wall. Yeah, he was, like, trying to stand up to Leslie, and then he just smashes his head against the wall, and he gets knocked out, yeah.
And Doc Hollering actually gets injured as well.
He does, yep.
Which leaves...
He gets stabbed.
Yes.
By the hand scythe, which was Leslie's weapon of choice.
Yes.
The hand scythe.
which is a great one.
Yep.
Leslie pursues Taylor, and now, because both cameramen have been sort of disposed of, Todd is dead, Greg is unconscious, we get the perspective of the horror movie. Mm-hmm. It is now like the
We're
third.
Back into that, yeah.
Yes. And Taylor is now doing all of the things that Kelly was supposed to do. Mm-hmm. She grabs the axe. She makes her way to the apple orchard. Mm-hmm. Leslie is in pursuit. She does get a good, like, hit on him, like, with the axe.
Yeah, she does face him.
Which is something that he says early on. She's like, well, you know, how do you, like, sure, you've compromised the axe, but, like, what if she hits you with it? And he's like, well, I gotta hope that she doesn't have a good swing, which
right.
Taylor does.
Yeah, she does.
She does hit him. I believe she makes her way towards the location of the orchard that has the cider press.
The press, yep.
Because
she knows to go there anyway.
Yes. Like
it's almost, it's like he's like drawing her to it anyway.
Yes.
You know?
So while
Which
Leslie.
Which was his intent.
Yeah, while Leslie has this plan, Taylor has a plan of her own because she knows what the ultimate end game is here. Mm-hmm. So Leslie makes his way into the room where the press is. Taylor is hiding in the shadows and like hits him with, I don't know what the hell that thing is. It was like a pulley or something. It was like a big metal pulley.
Yeah. whatever was in there.
Yes. There is a part where Leslie like almost gets the better of Taylor. He's like choking her out and
he does.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I forget how the hell she gets out of that. I feel
like she stabs him.
Oh yeah, because he has the scythe. He has.
Yeah,
little...
she takes his scythe
and stabs
him in the side. I think.
Yeah, and
which gets him off of her, so she doesn't, you know, choke to death.
Exactly, and she sort of like pushes him closer and closer to the press, and mm-hmm. she gets his head. She gets hit into the press and starts twisting it,
turning it to
squish his head.
Yep,
and he does let her know that it was her the whole time.
Yep,
like she was the final girl.
Yep.
And then she gives it one final crank and presumably kills Leslie. But then she does the final girl shit.
Right, which what everybody should do in such a situation. But she douses everything in gasoline.
And lights a match.
And walks away.
Yes. Well, she does watch it burn for a little bit.
A little bit.
And while she's watching it burn, you know, Greg is okay. He has come to, and so has Doc Halloran.
And so has Doc, and they meet up with her.
They meet up with her. Mm-hmm. And they're watching this thing burn. And we think that's the end. You think that would be the end. It's like a fun twist. But we do get sort of a post-credit scene in the morgue, where Leslie Vernon's body has been brought.
Yep. And it's like they're going to autopsy it.
Yeah, it's like CCTV footage of, you know, of this morgue. And sure enough, while the mortician is going through the paperwork and wheeling the gurney, you know, into the location to do the autopsy, you know, the blanket has been pulled off of what's left of Leslie Vernon's burnt, charred body. But sure enough, while the mortician's back is turned, the body sits up because he is trained for that. Like, he knows.
Yep. Like, he just sits right up and then that's it.
And that is the end of Behind the Mask. I think we covered pretty much everything. It's very fun.
It is a very fun movie. It's a different take on the whole genre. I mean, we've seen it before where, you know, like, the genre itself makes fun of its own tropes and stuff like that.
Like Scream.
Like Scream. Obviously, like Scream, yeah. But this was a little bit different because it was the whole documentary, or mockumentary, really.
Yeah.
Style.
And it cuts back and forth with, like, the third person.
Yep.
Like, professionally shot horror film versus, like, the, you know, camcorder.
Yeah.
You know.
Like, handheld. Like, yeah. Running through stuff.
Which is really fun.
Yeah.
And the twists in this were really, really fun. What did you have for a body count? Because it was hard to tell, like, what was a legitimate...
Because they kept going, they like, kept well, going... this is what's going to happen.
Like, when they were, when they were showing, like, the planning versus what actually happened. Because I just kind of included everything, and I had 12, but I don't feel like that's accurate.
I have 10.
Okay.
So, I wasn't really sure if the librarian died or not.
Yeah,
she kind of like passed out.
Yeah, she fainted.
But we assume that she died from shock.
Maybe.
I don't know.
It was really hard to keep track of the body count because it would go back and forth.
It would go back and forth.
Like, this is what's going to happen versus what actually happened. So
this is what's planned to happen.
But this is what transpired.
Well, we might not, but we might not be able to pull it off.
So this is one I think of the body count's a little ambiguous. I don't think there's a true body count that we can keep track of.
Yeah, I think all of the kids got axed, right? One of the cameramen gets axed.
Yes.
And the librarian.
Okay.
So however many of those are.
So Kelly, boyfriend, best friend, her boyfriend, stoners, two stoners, Todd, the cameraman, librarian, eight?
Eight? Sure.
Okay.
We'll go with it.
Sure. Okay. What would you give this for a star rating?
4.3.
I'm going to do a 4.8.
4.8.
It was really good. Fun.
It is a lot of fun to watch this
It's
one.
Really fun. It was really, really clever. I really enjoyed watching this. Mm-hmm. It took a twist that I didn't see coming, which when I realized what was happening, I was like, oh, I like that. That's a fun, it's a fun twist. Do you have any fun tidbits about this movie?
Well, it was, takes place in Maryland.
Yes.
However, it was largely shot in Portland, Oregon.
Okay.
Scott Wilson became involved after Robert Englund suggested it.
Love it.
Right? Apparently those two were friends.
Aw.
Scott Wilson.
Scott Wilson, the nicest guy.
I think out of the entire series of Walking Dead, his death is still the most upsetting.
I'm still going to not to go on a, like, a, I'm not going to derail this about The Walking Dead. His death was very upsetting. Him and when Sophia comes out of the barn still gets me every time.
Sophia, really?
Yeah. And I think it's because Melissa McBride's reaction to her coming out of the barn is like the saddest thing I've ever fucking seen.
It gives me chills.
Yeah. Like when, because she comes out of the barn and she does the like flinches away from the light. And you think, like, oh, my God, it's Sophia, and she's okay. She's been hiding.
Definitely not.
And then she, like, turns, and, like, her eyes are glazed over, and she's, like, snarling.
Yeah, and obviously a corpse.
Yeah, and, like, Melissa McBride, Carol, starts, like, running towards her, and Daryl has to, like, physically restrain her.
Yeah.
It's so fucking sad. But, yes, Herschel dying is the one that, like, I was, like,
really
I
hurt me.
Yeah, I was, like, I don't think I can, watch this show anymore. It was very, 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 it was so fucking sad.
Right, like that bothered me more than Glenn.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh well, that one's rough too. Maggie's reaction to Glenn dying is like,
oh, it's so rough.
It's such good acting. Like, these people are such good actors, and they get like, garbage material.
Okay. But they get garbage material. All right. So according to the writer, David J. Stiev, I'm not sure if I'm saying that correctly. I apologize if I butchered it. Wilson's character, Eugene, was written as both an homage and allusion to Billy Lenz, who was supposedly, because I guess we don't really know, was the killer in Black Christmas, one of the original slashers, right?
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So, like, that killer right there helped pioneer the business of fear, but not widely recognized as its successors.
Yes.
You know. In earlier drafts of the script, Eugene was more heavily implied to be Billy, but was abandoned to make the character more of an archetype of various slasher villains. So what I think they were trying to do was basically, this is Billy.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because in Mike Myers, they made these villains historic people.
Yeah.
That actually existed.
Right.
So I'm wondering if, like, was he going to be Billy?
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, technically, here's a sequel to Black Christmas.
Yeah.
Essentially, right? So the critical response, Rotten Tomatoes, 76%. Smart mockumentary that presents a gory, funny, and obviously affectionate skewering of the slasher genre. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
I suppose. New York Daily News, a must for those who like thrills laced with a sense of humor. The humor in this was fun.
It was really funny.
It was very fun.
The thing that made me laugh, and it was like such a subtle thing, and we talked about it, is like when he does like remove them, when he takes Taylor and Greg and Todd, and is like, you guys have to go because like I need to get this done and I can't have you guys interrupting me. And he's like, it was really nice meeting you, and he's like shaking their hands like after he just got done killing someone. Yeah. And he was like, okay, take care of you guys. And, like, I was
right,
like,
right.
So funny. I think he hugs one of the cameramen. He's like, bring it in, man. Like,
yeah. The Washington Post breakdown of cliches is vivid and witty. Noted that its audience are genre deconstructionists.
Okay.
Sure. So here's a poor review.
Who's it from so I can get mad?
The Village Voice.
Oh, fuck them. Okay. Isn't that like some failed like newspaper in New York or something?
I gotta be honest, probably, because this is the first time I've ever gotten a
I've heard of the Village
thing from the Village Voice.
I've heard of the Village Voice. I don't think they're in like publication anymore because they're such garbage. But go on.
Well, listen to this, and I 100% disagree with their statement. But desperately overcompensating for the fact that most horror films are already parodies of themselves, film takes a bite out of the dumb Scream franchise before devouring its own tail, proving you are what you eat. Okay, so let's unpack that.
This is what happens when hipsters get journalism degrees.
So don't be fun of hipsters. So let's break that down. First of all, it's not like Scream because we know who the killer is.
Yeah.
Number one.
Yeah.
Number two, like, yeah, Scream was one of those, like, oh, well, this is a horror, like, this is how horror movies play out, and this is all this stuff plays out, like, you know, you don't have sex, the virgin's the final girl, the, you know, if you do drugs, you're also gonna die, like, stuff like that.
Right.
Like, we had all those tropes in this, but it wasn't the same.
Yeah.
Like, at all.
Yeah.
Because, and the way it was shot was, yeah, like, it wasn't... Like, it was shot as a documentary.
Yeah.
So they had the first-person point of view at least, like, 85% of the time.
Yeah. And, the, like, his whole plan, you think, is unwinding because, like, oh, the girl that he selected isn't a virgin. How can she be the final girl? But then it, like, comes around and, like, oh, like, that actually wasn't his plan at all. This was his plan. Like, it was, you know.
Right. It completely changes where it never changed in Scream.
Yeah. Scream was, like, okay, their plan was their plan.
Right. So, also with this. Oh, I just lost my train of thought again.
Sorry.
I know. It's so bad. You're so bad, Ashley. Why don't you go eat another plate of clams?
You know what? If you had some, I would.
How do you feel about the whole bellies, though? Are you into whole bellies or no?
They're all right.
Andy loves whole bellies.
Yeah.
Anyways.
It really was getting derailed, like, severely. Like, what the fuck was that?
I know. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I'm sorry. Well, but anyways,
we were talking about comparing this to Scream.
And yeah, how, so yeah. I don't think it's like Scream at all. And also, another thing from this comment is that you obviously don't know or understand the audience that these movies cater to.
Yeah.
Like I don't know about you, but me, I'm always looking for the tropes. I love the tropes.
I love the tropes.
Like, half the reason this genre works is because of the tropes.
Without the tropes, it's nothing.
It's nothing. It's, you know, it's just another stupid big blockbuster movie that has no substance to it at all.
This was funny. It was a funny parody of itself still being, like, scary. Like, it had scary moments. Right,
like, it still had scary moments.
Yeah.
It was funny. Like, the humor was good. And it had, like, you know, they had cameos from, like, these gems.
I'm just gonna say something that might not be popular, and that's okay. But, like, I feel like movies like Scream is a classic. Scream is so funny. This type of movie is catered towards smart horror fans.
Yeah.
It's catered to people that are smarter and are self-aware and have a good sense of humor. So I'm sorry, but the fact that some, like, shitty publication that is run by a bunch of fucking hipster douchebags in New York City, I want to say that's where the Village Voice originates from. And I don't even think they're in business anymore because they're fucking insufferable. Because I remember, like, other reviews that the Village Voice have done, like, making, like, causing, like, backlash because they would just say stupid shit. But something, like, this type of movie is geared towards smarter horror fans.
Because they do exist.
Yes.
Like, we're not all just, like...
dummies.
Dummy chumps.
Yeah, like, dummies, like, more gore, give me more gore.
Yeah, no, I don't watch these movies titties for gore.
Titties and gore. Like,
I don't watch these movies for the... I actually appreciate the ones that don't have a ton of gore in it.
Yeah.
Because you have to use other...
scary elements.
Yeah, you have to bring in other elements.
Like psychological.
That are going to scare people.
This type
and atmospheric type stuff.
This type of movie, like I said, it's geared towards a smarter, more elevated horror fan.
Yeah.
Someone with a sense of humor, self-aware, like a sense of irony, who can appreciate the subtle and not so subtle points of this movie. So when somebody's like, this was bad, my impression is this was bad. This is trying so hard to be like Scream. My impression is when you say something like that about something that is clearly well written and well thought out, is that
you're just a huge bore.
You're a huge bore, but also you're a huge bore and you're a fucking moron. Jesus. You are a moron. Like, I'm sorry. If you're going to sit there and be like, it tries so hard to be like Scream,
you have no substance and no, like, thought process.
You're the type of person that if you were sitting at the table, I'm going to ask you to get up and leave because you're ruining everybody's good time. Like, that's...
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry. That shit pisses me off so much to read, like, just this pretentious... It's like, did you not watch the same movie that we did and that other people have watched that gave it good reviews?
You know, I wonder about that sometimes because I see these movies and then you have all these great reviews and you always still have, like, at least one... where it's like, oh, well, blah, 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 blah. That completely contradicts everything else. So you wonder, did all these other people who reviewed this movie watch the same movie as you did?
Well, this is a
two-time. Or are you just, like, being different to be difficult?
That's the thing. So
and, you know, being different is fine.
It's fine. I'm not saying that everybody has to have the same opinion, but right. if you're gonna dislike this movie, dislike it for valid reasons. Don't dislike it because you either... you weren't paying attention and you're too fucking stupid to catch up on like why this movie is actually like really funny and really entertaining.
Yeah.
Or you were fucking busy fucking scrolling MySpace because it was 2006 when this came out. Like you're too busy trying to fucking do your coding on your MySpace page to have a cool background. You're too busy like contemplating what song and your top eight, who's gonna be on your top eight this week to fucking pay attention to
Hipsters, apparently.
I hate New York hipsters because I've had to deal with them ever since I got into like when I was like a teenager and I was like into the Strokes and like
you're not still into the Strokes?
The Strokes are kind of shit now, but like back then,
good for you for realizing that the Strokes
back then were great, but like
right.
there was like this renaissance of like garage bands that were coming out in New York, and like all of a sudden every fucking hipster that was living off of their parents' money in fucking Brooklyn and New York had something to say about everything, where if something was like
nobody cares about your opinions.
Well, that's the thing. If something was like genuinely liked or generally liked across the board, You always had to have, like, the like one or two asshole that just couldn't enjoy it because it was like, no, too many people like this. So, like, I'm gonna say something controversial, and it wasn't, and it's not good, and I'm smarter because I don't think it's good. It's like, no, you're a fucking moron because you didn't understand the movie.
It's like, I definitely know I've mentioned this before, but it's like the people who are like, oh, well, you didn't like Fight Club because you didn't understand Fight Club. And I'm like, no, I didn't like it because it's just not that good.
Yeah, it has,
it has its moments. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I do like Fight Club, but I don't think it's, I think it's overrated, is what it is.
Exactly. So Fight Club in itself is not a bad movie.
Like, I'm not a complete moron, so I do know what was going on. Well,
that's the thing. That's the thing. I can follow along. Like, I totally get what's going on with Fight Club.
Yeah, I'm not a moron. It's not that hard.
There's no complex undertones of Fight Club. I'm sorry, it's not complex. And if you're one of those people that's like, oh my god, like, you just don't understand it, you're also a fucking moron.
Right.
Like, you are the lowest common denominator, and you think that you're reading way too much into something that is not that complex. Fight Club is not a bad movie. Is it a movie I want to watch more than once?
No.
Nope.
Not
once,
at all.
Once was enough.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Fucking hell. Like, well, oh my god.
There goes Ashley on her tangent.
I'm sorry.
It's
you know what?
Cool.
I'm not sorry. I don't regret anything that I just said over these past few minutes. Fuck that. I'm not apologizing.
Good for you. Stand by your morals.
I'm standing my ground.
And I agree. I do agree with you. Like, oh, it's just, you know, like, you're just being different for the sake of being different, but you don't actually have a valid opinion.
Yeah.
You know?
It's okay.
If it is your opinion, that's great, but I don't feel like that's your true opinion.
I want to, after we finish this, I want to know who authored that Village Voice, because I'm going to find them on social media and be like, hey, just read something you wrote back in 2006. You're a piece of shit, and I hope you never reproduce. I hope you didn't pass on your pretentious genes to anyone else, so I hope to God you didn't reproduce. Like,
calm down. I'll see if I can find the name. I usually exclude the names and just give it a general...
Like, this chick is cyberbullying me for something I wrote, like, 20 years ago.
Right, like, calm down. Calm down, you psycho. So, it premiered in 2006, as we know.
Sorry, we're getting right back into the facts.
South by Southwest Film Festival, followed by a limited release in the U.S. March 16th, 2007. Like I mentioned before, it was Zelda Rubinstein's last film, Boho. Before her death,
this film is clean.
It's clean. You've never done this before. Neither of you. You're right.
Are you related to this man?
It's so fun.
I love her.
She's the best.
The budget, I couldn't find it. It's unknown. But it is recognized as low budget, obviously.
Okay. Right, that's cool.
But in the limited release it had, it grossed $139,000 in the box office. That is what I have. But I think this is great. I watched it on YouTube.
I did too.
It's probably going to get pulled for free. It's probably going to get pulled from there.
I mean, you can when pay they to realize watch it. Yeah, you can pay to watch it on YouTube.
You can. But... you can rent it, but you can also rent it on like Prime or wherever else. It was on Shudder for the longest time. I thought it was still on Shudder. Apparently it's not. I thought it was. It was when I looked at it on Wednesday. And when I went to watch it on Thursday, it wasn't there, so I must have been dreaming, I guess. I don't know. but that's where I first watched it, was on Shudder. But you can watch it free on YouTube.
For now.
Obviously, it's not the greatest quality, but who cares?
Okay, it's still free. Fun. Also, unrelated, Village Voice went out of business in 2017, so...
Oh, I was waiting for it to be like 2007.
No, The Village Voice was an American news and culture publication based in Greenwich Village. So,
there you go.
You know what? I'm glad they went under.
Oh my God, Ashley.
Sorry. Okay. No, I'm not sorry. I'm not apologizing.
Don't ever apologize for your morals. Stand up for what you believe in.
Did you have anything else about this movie that you wanted to discuss?
I think it's super fun. I don't think it's like any of the other... I would compare it more to like What We Do in the Shadows.
Yeah. The movie. Well, the document...
Both of them. The series and the movie. It's basically the same thing.
Yeah.
Because obviously that's documentary style. I absolutely love God, What We Do in the Shadows. I was so sad when that show ended. But
I'm still devastated.
I still watch it.
I have, you really are
the most devious bastard. I have
such a crush on Matt Berry. Like, still, it's not still.
You know, he does. He actually does music.
Yeah, no.
Do you follow him?
Oh my god,
Instagram. Well, I do. He does like jazz and stuff.
Yeah, I love. I just his style of humor is so fucking funny. His voice. His voice work is so funny. God, like, he does so many, like, character voices on so many different things, and they're all so goddamn funny, but, like,
his accent kills me.
I have such a crush on Matt Berry. I think he's so cute.
Yeah, he's special.
He's a gem.
He is a gem. They're all gems, really. But they are. He's... particular is a joke. But, yeah, because it reminded me more of that, because that's a documentary style, in considering reality... the world we live in right now, where vampires exist.
Yes.
You know, and for the most part, they're just like other people.
Yeah.
You know, like there's vampires, so they fly and eat, you know, drink blood and shit and whatever. But at the same time, they still have to deal with, you know, reality and how everything sucks.
And they're just bumbling their way through. It's so funny. Yeah. Oh my God, that's a good comparison.
As far as comparisons go, that would be closer for me than Scream.
I was gonna say
Scream was a completely different, like, not like a genre or anything like that, but Scream was a completely different, like, premise? point of view.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
and I love Scream too, but I wouldn't compare it to those.
Yeah, it took a shot at the tropes of horror movies while still including them, whereas this is like, here's the tropes and this is how we navigate around the
exactly
tropes.
They
like,
explains it. The tropes explain. And why all this stuff happens in every single movie.
Yeah,
like, you know, like, why are the kids running over this way instead of clearly to their running cars?
Yeah,
you know. Or it's like that, was it State Farm? Or Progressive, the commercial? Like, why? Like, let's not hide behind the cars that are running with the keys inside. Let's hide behind this wall of chainsaws.
I love the...
Who has a wall of chainsaws?
I love the way they're like, why don't we just go to the running car? And the guy's like, are you crazy? Yes. So good.
That's the stuff we like to see. It's funny.
It's super funny.
like, kids in horror movies do not make good decisions.
I do think that comparing it to like What We Do in the Shadows is pretty spot on in the sense that it's like, it's a mockumentary and it's very funny.
Mm-hmm.
And it pokes fun at itself, but it's for, again, What We Do in the Shadows as like, that is for, and I'm not gatekeeping, but like, that's for a smarter audience. Like,
it's really for, you
know, you can have just like these fucking single brain cell people watch What You Do in the Shadows and just think it's dumb. And it's like, no, the show is so fucking clever. It's so funny.
Clever.
It's so clever and so funny.
Yeah.
So I took on the recipe this week. And because this movie focuses on Leslie Vernon, you know, basically training and doing all this preparation, including a lot of cardio, to be like in shape and fit to pursue and murder these teenagers one by one. What I had made today was something that was loaded with protein, because as anybody who is, you know, trying to be more mindful of what they put in their body and, you know, trying to be healthier, protein is a huge, like, it's a huge part of a healthy diet.
Mm-hmm.
You need a lot of protein to burn fat. You need it for energy. You need it to build muscle. Like, you need protein. So I have done a...
And, you know, keep your organs functioning the way they should.
Exactly. So today, for today's recipe, I did a protein-packed parfait.
A parfait.
Yes. And it's currently chilling in your fridge where it's going to, I don't want to say it's going to solidify because it's a bunch of different layers. But it will get like nice and cold, which I think is going to make it even better because it's supposed to be like a dessert, icy ice cream sort of treat.
Yeah.
So basically what I did is I layered a glass baking pan or a baking dish with creamy peanut butter, because peanut butter is a good source of protein. You can also use almond butter. But I'm not going to lie. I think almond butter, not to offend anybody, I think almond butter is fucking gross. I will eat it if it is like the only option, like if there is no peanut butter.
But it's not peanut butter.
So at the bottom, I layered this baking dish with peanut butter. And then what I did, a big thing is like, you know, like you can have a protein-packed dessert, but you also can't have a ton of sugar.
Right.
Because that counteracts, like, right. What's the point?
What's the point?
Yeah, what's the point of having a ton of protein if you're just going to load it up with a bunch of sugar?
Right.
And cutting a ton of sugar out of your diet is actually really good for you.
Yes.
Like, you shouldn't go crazy with the sugar.
Right.
So on top of the peanut butter, I mixed, I got a honey vanilla Greek yogurt. I want to say it was like Chobani who makes it. It's really, really good.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And I got a big ass container of that Greek yogurt, because Greek yogurt is an excellent source of protein. I want to say there's like 30 grams per like half of those containers. Like, it's just, so it's like 60 grams. There's basically 60 grams of protein sitting on top of that peanut butter right now. Mm-hmm. And what I did is I mixed it with I dumped out the yogurt into a big ass bowl, and I mixed it with sugar-free Jell-O cheesecake pudding mix. So basically what it does is, instead of using milk, because you would typically mix that pudding mix with milk to make the pudding and let it sit, you mix it with the yogurt and it turns into like a thicker, creamier custard. So while you're getting that vanilla honey taste in the yogurt, you're also getting like the cheesecake taste. So it tastes just like a cheesecake, basically, with a little bit of honey in it. And then from there, I topped it with sugar-free Cool Whip. Cool Whip. With strawberries. I mixed some sliced strawberries in there, and I sort of layered that on top. So you're getting, I think, like, per serving, it's like 47 grams of protein. I did the math. So you're getting 47 grams of protein, but you're also getting a little bit of like a creamy texture on top with some fruit. So it's like no sugar. Like, there's like minimal sugar in it. So it is a protein-packed parfait. So that you can eat that and then go do your cardio and then go slaughter a ton of high school kids.
You got that right. Or a bunch of kids on a boat watching whales.
Oh, man. I wish there had been a Leslie Vernon on that boat. Like, honestly. I would have helped. I would have participated.
Right.
I'm like, oh, you're going to throw this kid overboard so it gets eaten by a shark? I'm in. Like, which is terrible, but they were really awful.
Yeah, they were pretty bad.
So, yeah, so that recipe is going to be over on our Instagram. That is at Baking to the Bee Movies. And obviously, depending on allergies or flavor, you
right,
can...
like if you're allergic to peanuts, don't use peanut butter. Use that almond butter stuff that Ashley despises.
I don't despise it. I've never actually
had almond butter. I've had almond milk.
Yeah, I don't hate almond milk. It's a little sweet for me, but... I would take almond milk over oat milk any fucking day.
I've never had oat milk.
My business partner is going to listen to this and be like, what? Because I've never said this out loud. Oat milk is fucking disgusting.
He drinks oat milk.
I don't know if he drinks oat milk, but he uses like the oat milk creamer in his coffee. He can't do like regular creamer, which a lot of people
like.
Can.
Is he like a dairy? Can't do dairy.
Yeah, like cheese and dairy. And I know a lot of people like that. Like, that just have a hard time. Like he, you know, I'm basically spilling all the tea. when he gets a skin reaction when he eats cheese. He'll like break out or whatever if he eats cheese, which I do know a lot of people that have like a
so
dairy reaction.
That is,
I know,
so it's unfortunate. So, cheese so is so amazing.
It doesn't stop him. Don't get me wrong. Like, he doesn't.
Well, I have a little bit of an intolerant to lactose.
I remember. Yeah, I remember.
I could still eat cheese. Like, all my time. I don't drink regular. Well, I do drink milk. I just don't regularly drink milk. But yeah. Like, if I need like. Like, if I'm having a bowl of cereal and I have regular milk in the fridge,
you're fine.
I'll eat it and I'll be more or less okay.
I
personally
love
like goat milk.
Goat milk's delicious.
So goat milk is naturally lactose free.
Yeah.
Ashley's business partner. Think about it. And also, goat milk is delicious.
It is delicious. I like goat cheese as well.
And goat cheese is delicious.
Goat cheese is delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah, no,
but oat milk, girl, you know how many oats you need to squeeze?
Well, it's funny. So I've mentioned this. He and I do a lot of back and forth. I'll go visit him. He'll mm-hmm. come visit me. And like he buys all sorts of food when I cook, because I'll eat anything, like nothing. Like we talked about it at length.
A couple of times, actually. Yeah,
but like,
so when, about them clams?
when he comes to visit me, I try to be mindful about like what I put in my fridge. So like he'll have,
so he has something.
Yeah, so he'll have something like for his coffee or to snack on that's not going to have any kind of reaction with him. But like when I go shopping, like I'll buy my creamer. I get like the Chobani creamer because it doesn't have a lot of crazy shit in it. It's like milk and cream. But I get him oat milk creamer, and every time I pick it up, I'm like, oh, this fucking garbage. And then And like he'll use it, but like he'll leave and he'll ask me. He'll be like, "Are you gonna use the?" I'm coming clean right now. He'll ask
it's
me.
It's cool.
He'll ask me. He'll be like, "Are you gonna use the oat milk creamer?" Because like you know he doesn't want to waste it. And I'm like, "Oh yeah, I'll put it in my coffee." That shit goes down the sink like immediately after. Like, like
oh no, Ashley, did you just destroy your relationship?
I might have destroyed it with that confession that like the door barely closes and I'm like, look down the sink.
Like, get rid of this hot mess.
It's so gross. It doesn't taste good to me. And I mean, like, he, you know, when we go out to get coffee, he always gets like a latte with oat milk because it agrees with him. Or yeah. I'm just like, more creamer, please.
Like, oat milk, though. Like, why doesn't he go for something else? Like almond milk or
I don't know.
Cashew milk is a thing now.
I've never had cashew milk.
Neither have I.
Yeah.
Or just the goat milk.
Coconut milk's good, too. I like coconut milk.
Yeah.
Coconut milk's nice and sweet. Yeah. It's not too sweet, but it's sweet enough.
I feel like it's pretty sweet. Yeah. But each their own.
So, but this is, like, obviously, if you want to substitute different things in this recipe, if you're like, I don't want to use vanilla honey yogurt, you can use strawberry. Who gives a fuck?
Right. Like, nobody really gives a
crap. But if you're looking for the protein, Greek yogurt is the way to go. You could even, I was debating doing this with cottage cheese.
Cottage cheese is another excellent source of protein.
It is.
I don't know how this would be in it because it's all like,
I don't know.
The consistency of cottage cheese is... something I probably wouldn't mix with peanut butter.
Oh, and I also
I eat cottage cheese every morning.
and I forgot to mention on top of this. So like I crushed up just a couple of graham crackers and like sprinkled it on top of the. And I mean, like that. Obviously, graham crackers aren't necessarily a source of protein, but if you're looking for like the true, authentic like cheesecake taste, that just add a little bit of that.
Yeah,
it's like a nice.
That's legit.
Nice texture.
Yeah, just don't load it up.
Yeah, you don't have to go fucking crazy.
Or load it up. Do what you want.
You know what? Who gives a fuck? Do whatever you want. You know what? Fuck this recipe. If you don't want protein, like, whatever. Fuck it. Like, go eat a fucking thing of peanut butter. Who gives a shit? Like, I'm not going to stop you. Who the fuck am I? I'm a podcaster. I'm not going to stop you.
Right.
So yeah, this recipe will be on our Instagram. And if you have any, like, I was looking up different, like, protein desserts. There was, like, a protein chocolate mousse that looked pretty good.
Yeah.
But a lot of it involves protein powder. And I'm sorry, but, like, I can't do protein powder. I can do the Premier protein. We talked about this on the Cape when we were talking about protein shakes. Premier protein shakes, they don't sponsor this podcast, but they should. I think out of all the protein shakes I've had, because they're already, like, pre-mixed, you just open them up, put them in the fridge, shake them up when you're ready to drink them, and they're dairy-free. They're fucking delicious.
Yeah.
And they have really good flavors. Like, they have a peanut butter cup one that's really good. They have a chocolate-covered strawberry one that's delicious. They have caramel that's really good. In the fall, they break out the pumpkin spice, which I've never had. I think that might be a little bit too much. And I do like pumpkin spice.
That's
but it's so much pumpkin spice. It just seems like... But you get, like, each of those things. They're little shakes, but they're 30 grams of protein a pop, and they taste really fucking good. Mm-hmm. And there's no dairy in them. They're fucking delicious. So I recommend the Premier protein shakes if you're just like, I don't want to make a parfait. I just want straight up protein. Skip the powder, get the shakes, the Premier ones. Any other protein shakes are like Muscle Milk's fucking gross. It's gross.
Or do what I do when you need protein. Eat an entire chicken.
I could eat an entire chicken.
An entire plate of clams.
I could actually just eat like a full rotisserie chicken right now. I'm hungry.
You didn't bring one in. You didn't bring a purse.
I didn't bring a tote bag with the rotisserie. It's not Thanksgiving. I don't have. It's not Thanksgiving. I don't have time to fucking put a rotisserie chicken in my tote bag.
I didn't bring my rotisserie chicken tote bag.
I brought my nice little purse today. If I had known we'd be talking about rotisserie chicken, I probably would have brought my tote bag with the rotisserie chicken. I would be picking at it while we were like, I'd be offering you like a leg or something while we were doing the podcast. Oh my god. So
good stuff.
I think that just about does it for today. We're going to be back in a couple weeks with our season finale.
That's right. It's coming to an end again.
It's coming to an end. Another end. We'll be back, though. We always come back.
Right? We're like the serial killer in the movies.
I was going to say, we are like...
We always come back.
We are like Leslie Vernon in the morgue, just sitting up. Mm-hmm. Everyone thinks we're done.
We do our self-deprivation tanks. Once a week, so we can control our body functions.
Yes. Yes. I got my heart rate down to like five beats a minute. Five beats a minute. And I'm just loaded with protein.
Right.
So
I'm feeling good.
Feeling really good.
Feeling fit.
So before we sign off, again, you can follow us on Instagram, Baking to the Bee Movies. You can reach us directly at bakingtothebeemovies@gmail.com if you want to give us some protein dessert ideas. If you know of some, let me know. I'm always interested in that kind of stuff. I'm trying to be healthier and more. I'm getting older, so I need to like be more mindful about like what I'm putting into my body and like making sure I'm like
so not like late night Wendy's.
Dude, night. I will never
they
say
open late so I can eat great.
I am like it's funny because I will say like, oh, you know, I'm trying to be more mindful of my health and I'm trying to take better care of myself because as you get older, it's harder to do so. Like,
agreed.
Your metabolism slows, your energy levels drop, like your hormones change. Like, I'm just trying to stay on top of it while I'm getting older. But if someone is like, you want Taco Bell, I'm not gonna say no. I will eat. I can put away so much fucking Taco Bell. It's embarrassing.
Like, man, I thought I could put away a lot of Taco Bell. You got nothing, I got nothing on you. I would be afraid to watch you eat Taco Bell,
dude.
Because Taco Bell is already slop.
Do you want to?
Don't
know,
get me wrong. I love me some Taco Bell.
Do you want to?
But
know,
it's slop.
Do you want to know what my go-to? This is
like you mix it in a big old bowl.
This is gonna disgust so many people. But do you want to know? Do you want to know what my go-to Taco Bell meal is?
The meal?
I get the T1, which is the...
What is that?
It's the three crunchy tacos.
Okay.
But then I also do, I want to say it's the T5, which is a crunchy taco, but it's also the nachos Bel Grande. So it's basically four crunchy tacos and the nachos. And depending on whether or not I ate anything earlier in the day, I'll also get a beef chalupa. Like, it's...
Damn!
and I house that shit, and I feel fine. Like, it restores my will to live. Like,
really?
Like, well, so I was... So my time of the month was coming, mm-hmm. and I get upset and I get like, you know, yeah. little, I get really sensitive and I was crying at these like fucking baby pygmy falcon videos on Instagram. Yeah. And like, I was talking to my business partner. I was like, you know, like these fucking little falcons, like they're so cute. And like, literally he was like, oh boy, here it comes. And like the next day he had like a Postmates like Crunchwrap Supreme delivered to my office just so I wouldn't flip the fuck out.
Right.
Like,
Right.
It's just a little something to take the edge off.
it's a Crunchwrap Supreme.
It's Crunchwrap Supreme. Yeah, dude, I fucking adore Taco Bell. I love it. I love it. I love it so, like, I'm going to get emotional talking about how much I love Taco Bell.
I mean, I like Taco Bell like the next guy, but damn.
I fucking.
So my jam is, I want to say it's a T7. It's whatever the quesadilla is.
Oh, the quesadilla is a good one, too.
All right. So... Let's eat this high protein
dessert. So I'm not as hungry.
Right?
Because I'm about to go over, like, one town over and go to Taco Bell.
Yeah, you have to go. Actually, you have to go two towns over from where I am.
They closed the one in my town.
My stars. What are you ever going to do?
I have to drive all the way to Northampton to get Taco Bell.
That's insane.
I know. It's like 40 minutes.
Like... That's farther than I have to drive to get Taco Bell.
So they closed. I had a combination Taco Bell KFC in my town, and they closed it. So now it's just, I think they're turning it into a fucking dispensary because everything in my town gets turned into a goddamn dispensary.
Yeah.
But got like eight of them. But I used to go there all the time, and like I wouldn't get like the full, like I just talked about. I would just get like a taco, you know what I mean, just to like, you know, hold me over until it's ready to get
take the edge off.
To take the edge off. Well, something to take the edge off. But they closed it, and like I'm like, is that my fault? Did I, like, did I put them out of business because I just ate all their fucking food?
Well, no, because they have, you would have kept them in business, single-handedly would have kept them in business.
I just remember the last time I went, so it was a Taco KFC, and I remember, like, one of the last times I went, I pulled around, and, like, the guy handed me a bag that was just full of, like, it wasn't even just my order, it was, like, full of, like, KFC chicken tenders and shit, and I was like, dude, I didn't order all this, and he's like, it's my last day, and I don't give a fuck, and I was like, okay, like, all right, and then shortly after, they closed, so it's like, maybe that guy had something to do with it.
Maybe. Andy and I went to Taco Bell once, years ago, and they screwed up our order, but in the right way.
They give you more?
Oh, yeah, we had, like, 20 tacos.
Oh,
like, aside from what we ordered, we had, like, 20 tacos. We were eating tacos for, like, a couple of days.
That's the best day ever.
It was pretty awesome.
I'll tell you what, man. Like, obviously nothing comes close to, like, authentic Mexican food. Like, my jam is Pokey's in downtown San Diego. That is my favorite Mexican food joint. I have been going there for years.
Yeah.
It is, like, one of those places when I'm in San Diego, which I have not been to San Diego in, like, 3 years, but, like, I will go literally every day I'm in San Diego and get, like, their potato tacos, like, whatever.
Yeah.
Nothing tops authentic Mexican food.
Agreed.
Clearly.
I agree.
However, The crunchy tacos at Taco Bell are fucking delicious. They're so good. And the chalupas, so good. They're so fucking good. And the nachos Bel Grande, like, sure. It's just a plate covered in sour cream, guacamole, and whatever. But it's good.
But how do you feel about their nacho fries?
Eh.
I loved the nacho fries.
Do you? Okay. All right.
I think those are awesome.
Yeah.
Anywho,
all right.
Another tangent.
Yes. All right. So we're gonna go
end of this shit.
Yes, we're gonna go. We're gonna go eat this protein dessert. And we will be back in a couple of weeks. Be sure to like, subscribe, share, tell your friends and family about us. If you have friends and family that are like, man, like I get stuck in a morning commute. I would really love to hear two women scream about the Village Voice and Taco Bell for 40 minutes. Like, where is that? Where is like that little like curve in the podcasting world? Like, where's that corner?
It's a very, you know, it's a niche.
Just point them in our direction. We will set them straight. We will guide them.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So thank you all so much for joining us today. This has been really fun. And I'm excited for the next episode because I think we picked another gem to close out the season with before we take a little bit of a break. So Steph, thank you again so much for having me here today. I'm excited to go eat this dessert, and thank you all again for joining us.
Yay.
My name is Ashley.
My name is Steph.
This has been Baking to the Bee Movies.
Baking to the blah, blah, blah.
Bye.
Bye.